Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite podcast. I'm your host, Sean. Danny, why is there mildly inconveniences in this world?
Because white people need to have problems in the first world.
You know what? Alanis Morissette should put in that song, Ironic. It's like
things that are ironic.
It's like you have to pee after you already washed your hands.
Like she should have just changed the name of the song from "Isn't It Ironic" to "Isn't This Mildly Inconvenient"? Because then at least it would be a more accurate title.
Right. I mean, I feel like that is like the most irritating. It happens like once a week. And it is, like, the worst thing that happens to me. It's like, you know, get done with something, you wash your hands, and then it's just like, all right, well, I guess I wash my hands to protect myself as I go use the restroom.
The only thing worse than that is when you wake up in the morning and you take a shower and get dressed, and then you have to poop.
Yeah, I believe that. You're like trying to leave, and you're like, I just can't leave. I gotta wait.
Or like you take a shower, and like as soon as you're drying yourself off, you have to poop.
Yep.
That is inconvenient.
That is pretty inconvenient.
A little too inconvenient, don't you think? It's like having to pee after you've already washed your hands. It's like having to poop after you've washed your ass.
Good times.
It's like rain after you've washed your car. Who would have thought? It figures. There you go. I wrote the first verse for you, Sean.
All right, I'll keep working on the song. Maybe we could demo it for her. We could change the whole song.
We can just submit it to Weird Al. A little too mildly inconvenient, don't you think?
So what are you drinking to get through all these mildly inconveniences?
All these mild inconveniences? Is your English broken today, Sean?
I don't know. I have nothing, man.
Like, you had a hard time getting through the opening because you knew you were lying to the people. And then you messed up again late. Now you
just I'm just tired of lying to people.
And then your mildly inconveniences. That's not really
anything.
No.
You know, it's because I'm on vacation and this is like the last day. I got to go back to work.
Oh, pobrecita.
Oh, I got to go back and join the real world. I can't just stay up till 3 a.m. and get up at 11 anymore.
Isn't it mildly inconvenient? Don't you think? A little too mildly inconvenient.
When you sleep in till 11. On your last day off, you can't sleep until 2 a.m.
Oh, man.
It'll be fun tomorrow.
Like we were talking beforehand, because I have to wake up at like 10:45 in the p.m. So my wife's like, well, how are you going to be able to fall asleep? And I told her, you should do the same thing, some 16-ounce curls.
True.
It'll help you sleep. So I ended up going to one of the local beer shops this week, because I just needed some beers and cans that wasn't like super hit, you know, full big bottles of like heavy stouts that I have a lot of. Sometimes, you know, you just want a 16-ounce can of like something a little more refreshing, like an IPA or whatever. So when I was looking around, I was just kind of looking for something interesting, right?
Yes.
Like, I have kind of this one bottle share, and like, I was planning on going to more, but the COVID-19 happened. And so all that fun got canceled, but I ended up running into the guy hosting it. Like, one of the last times I was able to go out to eat before I was told no. And I was telling him, I was like, yeah, I had a lot of, I had a lot of fun and I want to go to the next one. I was like, I just got to find the right beer. And he's like, oh, you don't need to like find, like, it's not about bringing whales. And I'm like, well, I'm not looking for like whales per se, like rare beers. But I also don't want to just bring like something standard and normal. You know what I'm saying? That like everybody's already had or everybody can get. Yes. And so I ended up coming across this beer. It's by Omnipolo Brewing. It's called Grandine. Apparently that's a reference that I'm not Swedish enough to understand. Like, I was looking at Untapped. I think it's like some Swedish dude's last name. It is a pale ale brewed with champagne yeast.
Interesting.
Yes, and it has this fruity smell to it. It smells really good. And it's just like a like very like nice clear amber color, like a pale ale is supposed to have. That's interesting. Like, I was reading some of the like Untappd reviews, and it's very dry. Like, you can from the taste.
Oh yeah, I believe that.
But it's still got like a nice little hoppy flavor to it. It's a really good beer. It's a very drinkable beer. It's definitely something you could sit by the pool or cut your lawn or a barbecue with and not have a problem, even though it comes in at 7% alcohol by volume.
Nice.
How about you there, Sheen?
You bastard. I'm having a organic handcrafted fruit ale from the Samuel Smith. They this is a product of England. So I was looking for a sour and I couldn't find anything, so I ended up doing this. But I got the raspberry one. It's ale brewed with raspberry juice. But I guess this is like an old style, but it's pretty good. But I mean, it's it really feels like I'm just drinking raspberry juice. That's like how sweet it is and how raspberry it is.
Nice. I mean,
I'm trying to make sure this is alcoholic. Maybe I just got juice, but I don't think they would carry this in the in the beer store if it didn't happen. No.
What is it called?
It's a Samuel Smith organic handcrafted fruit ale. So,
I don't know, it might not have any.
Maybe.
It might not have any.
Maybe they don't.
The Untappd, it doesn't have a listing for, It said for ABV and IBU for the organic strawberry, it says NA.
NA? So maybe I'm just having some fancy-ass juice then. Can you have it? Isn't that, doesn't make any sense though. It's an ale though.
I know.
Can you have non-alcoholic ale? Maybe you can.
I mean, because they do have their brown ale that has 0.5% ABV. And then they have a light mild and a dark mild that only comes in at 2.8%.
I feel like this is like the Winnie Pooh meme where it's like raspberry juice, like not very good. And then it's like the classy one, fruit ale.
Exactly. Their organic chocolate stout is pretty good.
Is it?
It's easy drinking. It comes in at 5%. And then they have an oatmeal stout that also 5%. But then you want to get fancy, you can get their imperial stout that comes in at 7%.
Oh, wow. That's not bad at all.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I said that's not bad at all.
No.
So I guess you're drinking by yourself, man.
Pretty much, because even the organic raspberry isn't even showing up on the Untappd.
Just would it be, man. It just would it be.
It is, man. It'd be that way. So there's a brewery in Colorado, Frolic Brewing. And, you know, pre, like, how things kind of started opening up a little bit, from the COVID, they decided to do a civil disobedience day, is what they were going to call it.
What?
And
civil disobedience?
Yes.
Can't we just call it, what's it called? Like the, just go full-blown murdering people? Like,
well, it's not that movie? It's not that bad. Basically, what they were going to do was they were going to sell, like, beer to go, but, like, have, like, a on-site drinking in their parking lot. And I guess, but they were going to, like, have people, like, because I guess there's 450 spaces in their parking lot. It's a pretty big place.
Yeah.
But they're going to, like, have people spaced out, but they're basically just going to have, like, tailgating in their parking lot. And people were, like, replying to the social media, because they posted it on social media, like, dumbasses. And so,
well, how else was people supposed to know how to go there to go get their drink on?
Right. But people were like, maybe this isn't the best idea that you could do. And so, like, screw you, we're doing it anyways. It's on. It's on like Donkey Kong. And then they posted on the day of, and they're like, that morning, and they're like, never mind, it's been canceled. The police showed up and said we can't do it.
Yeah.
And so, like, of course, then the people came out. It's like, who ratted them out? And it's like,
they
did by posting it on their social media.
Danny, I just got an update. My beer, it is a beer. It is a true beer. It comes in at 5.1% ABV. Okay.
You are not
drinking alone.
Okay.
Yeah, I just went right to their website.
That's the best place. I think I was on their website too, trying to find it. I just put in the Google machine, Sam Smith Organic Raspberry.
Mm.
But
yeah, I was able to. I just went right to the website on the bottle. So I just kind of went to the brewery because it seems to be like a company in Seattle, like imports a bunch of your like beer from different breweries from outside of America, and then I think they distribute, and this is one of them. So, but yeah, they have a bunch of stuff, but yeah, like, it's a pretty nice, like, little website once you kind of get into the right place. Kind of tells you about the brewery and stuff, and then, like, what beers are out there.
Yeah, I mean, that usually is, like, the case. There's, like, anything from another country always has, like, a secondary, like, American address in a way where it's like that's where we ship it to and then they distribute it. Or at least that's where their headquarters are.
Yep. And Samuel Smith is a verified vegan brewery. So fun fact.
Sweet. So now you got Sam Smith and Modern Times.
Exactly. I want this chocolate stout now. Now I'm gonna have to go looking for it.
Another one that's pretty good, and I don't know the new name of the brewery. I think it's if the new one, but they changed names. But it used to either used to be or is currently known goes by Wells. But they have a banana bread, like a ale, basically.
Oh, really?
And it's pretty good.
Nice. Not too shabby.
Not at all.
So back on to idiots that are publicly announcing drinking sessions and not understanding that cops could go on the website and look at it.
Right, or anybody else could go on the website and look at it that, you know, like, isn't law enforcement or government officials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like the amount of disappointment that, like, and shock that they had the nerve to show. How did people find out about this? So, I don't know if you remember, I don't think it was this year's Super Bowl, but it might have been last year's, but the Budweiser basically called out Coors for having corn in their beer.
I remember this.
And they, like, the whole, like, commercial, like, every commercial was, like, there was the one where, like, the peasants brought the king a thing of, like, corn or whatever, and it's like, for the beer! And they're like, yeah, we don't use that shit. Take it to the other kingdom!
That's because Budweiser uses rice.
Yes.
So,
but then, like, the implication was that because in America, corn syrup is, like, up there with, like, MSG and GMOs as things that are bad, but nobody really knows why. They just know they're bad because that Facebook post that somebody else posted told them it was bad?
A couple of years ago.
Yes. So, Coors ended up suing InBev, Miller Coors, and basically said, they're being mean to us in their commercials.
Yeah.
And so the judge came back and was like, well, are they lying? And that forced Coors to be like, well, no, I mean, we use corn, but they're trying to make it sound like a bad thing. And they're like, well, is it a bad thing? And they're like, no, but they call me names. It's basically like somebody going to like their mom and like, mom, he called me a name. So the judge was like a good parent, was like, well, just hit him back. Like, make it commercial.
Tell him, I'd rather use American corn than foreign rice. Boom! I should get in the... They should hire me.
And it's funny because...
I'll be like, there.
Because InBev was even like, they hate farmers because we use rice made by American farmers and they use other things. And it's like, wait, American farmers grow corn too. Like, lots of it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's pretty funny that the judge literally just told him, it's like, whoops, make a commercial saying that they suck.
He's probably a craft brew snob, and he's like, I got to deal with this shit.
Right, as he's like, you know, drinking his whale behind the counter, his 450 North slushy.
He's probably drinking, he's probably like a Pabst Blue Ribbon guy.
Maybe. Oh,
Lion and Kugel.
I did forgot to write this down in the news, in the notes.
Oh,
the,
boy.
We had previously talked about how the Miller brewery in Irwindale was shutting down.
Yes.
And Pabst Blue Ribbon had so many days to, like, agree to decide whether or not they wanted to, like, move, basically take over the facility and move in.
Yes.
Basically, on the last day of the deadline for them to decide, they said, yeah, we're taking it. We'll move in.
Of course. Nothing like waiting until the last minute.
Right. Well, maybe they're hoping the price would go down or something. But we're going to get a Pabst Brewery out here, which hopefully means if we're getting a Pabst Brewery, we can get the Captain Pabst tasting room. We can drink all the Captain Pabst beer.
Is that a thing that's even good?
I don't know. Our Wisconsin correspondent got lost in the woods trying to get there, and he hasn't reported back yet.
Some say he's still looking for it.
He had to take the long way around. The direct route led to past some high schools that he's not allowed to get within 50 feet of, or 500 yards of, or whatever it is.
It's not Bigfoot, it's just Mike.
It's not. Oh, man.
Why do we say shit like this? Because they don't even listen to the podcast to defend themselves.
No. Fuckers. And I think that's part of the reason why we say this shit, because then if they did listen, they would like, wait a minute, have you guys been saying this about us the whole time?
Yep.
And we would know.
Hey, it'd just be like, look. At the end of the day, if you were on the show, we'd say the same shit, so it doesn't matter.
Well, we say the same shit in the voice chat.
That is true. Except with the
group chat.
That is true.
So, you sent me a text yesterday, Sean, and just like the great holiday of Festivus, where they have the airing of the grievances,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to allow you to air some grievances.
What am I trying to air out?
I don't know. I just got a cryptic text about putting your foot through something.
Oh.
And
I think it was just a random head nod to all the horror stories I think that we've talked about from UPS and what they do to your packages.
You mean like the Reddit post where somebody had a door delivered and it was bent in half practically?
Yeah, I think we were talking, and at work one time we had a shower door come back, and it was like just footprints all across the box. So obviously the glass was shattered. It was like, who's stepping on shower doors?
People that are too lazy to step around it.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So, yeah, I was supposed to get, like, a couple things delivered. Not from UPS, but from, like, one from the post office and one from FedEx.
Yeah.
And, like, the one from – they were both supposed to be delivered on Saturday. And so I woke up, like Friday, I was, like – for the FedEx one, it was still in Tempe, Arizona, like as of Friday, and like the post office one, it's like, yeah, it's around here somewhere. and so I woke up Saturday and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's not going to be delivered. So I checked and I went on the tracking page, and sure enough, on the big, you know, writing on top was like, to be delivered today. And then I go down and it's like, wait, how can my FedEx package be delivered today? It's literally still in Tempe, Arizona.
Who knows?
And then the same thing with the post office. They're like, it's going to be late, but it's being moved. It's in transit from somewhere to somewhere. We don't know. Like, there's like no location. Usually it's like arrived at this place, departed this place. It's just like, yeah, it's in transit somewhere. Hopefully.
Yeah. You'll get it one day. It's like, it reminds me of the video of, like the Popeyes delivery service.
Oh, yes. Dude, all those videos are great. Like the differences between Popeyes and Chick-fil-A. It's like one where it's like ordering at Popeyes and it's like his kitchen at his home, obviously. But it's like the guy orders and he's like, here's your food. And it's like, dude, this isn't even what it's like. Just take it. It's your order. And it's like, can I get some sauces? Like, we don't have any. And it's like, what are those right there? And I said, it's like, don't worry about these. I said, we don't have any sauces.
My favorite is like, dude, you're like 3 hours late. You're lucky I even came. Where's my drink? What? What you want? A drink? The other guy's got to go grab him. Like, he ain't worth it, man. He ain't worth it.
Oh, man. And the funny thing is I haven't seen one person like, no, Popeyes is not like that at all.
You know, that's the secret flavor at Popeyes, is hate. You didn't know that?
Just anger and hate, yes.
That's what makes that spicy chicken sandwich so much better than, or so tasty.
It's fueled by anger and hate?
Yeah. Chick-fil-A just has a good, has a very good recipe. Popeyes just it's just full of hate and anger.
Yes.
I don't know how many times I've been to Popeyes and did it. I don't think I've ever walked inside Popeyes and felt like not like I felt like being there, I was inconveniencing them. It was just like, why are you there?
Packed, and you're still like, wait, are you guys closed? Should I not be in here? Like, am I interrupting? Like, you're like, you haven't opened yet?
It's like 1 p.m.
Right.
Are you open yet?
Fuck, we gotta make more chicken.
Anybody want to fucking help this guy? Shit, like they're all like, all right. Like one of them's like, fuck, fine, I'll go do it. After it's been like 10 minutes, you're like, man, dude, I'm getting really hungry. Just
want some food. Like they're back there. It's like, dude, I helped the last customer, and it's like, dude, I helped like 3 customers in a row before that. It's like, I don't give a shit. I helped the last one. You, it's your turn. It's not my fault you didn't force me to go help the other people. Oh man. So speaking of anger, you just sent me told me to write hot sauce, Sean.
Danny, I leveled up. I leveled up in the world of life. I made hot sauce during my vacation.
Did you make the same mistake my friend made when he was making chile verde and like thought he washed his hands before he took a pee? After chopping the jalapenos?
I did not. And it was,
Did you wear gloves like a smart person?
No, I don't wear gloves. I'm not a bitch. Well, I'm just very lucky. I'm just very lucky.
I'm going to say, if you're not a bitch, you should have just, like, took the ultimate challenge and just poked yourself, like, rubbed your eyes while you were chopping the jalapenos.
So I made 2 batches. So I got a kit for Christmas. So I finally busted it out and was like, I'm going to just fucking do this. So the hot sauce kit comes with dried peppers, and it comes with basically everything. You just add water. That's like the only thing that you have to do is add water. So you put them in, you let it boil for a little bit to rehydrate it and the peppers and stuff, and then you kind of blend it up. And so I took like the mild recipe and I swapped out one chili to add a habanero to give it more spice because I wanted it more. It was like the recipes are like, bitch boy, I want to kill myself because it's too hot. Like, I was like, there's not a lot of like in the middle kind of recipe. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to use the base one and I'm going to do that. So because I did that, and again, keep in mind, I didn't do like any hot sauce research. I just followed the guide and I made one little change. So the hot sauce came out like a reddish brown color. And when I was reading, it says that you don't cross color peppers. So you don't use like green and red peppers, because it gives you that off color that you don't really want in your hot sauces. So instead of having like a red or a green or a yellow or orange, it turns out brown. So first mistake there. But from a taste wise, pretty freaking solid. Not bad at all, man.
For a first effort, at least.
Exactly. And then later in the week, I'm like, I'm going to do this again. I'm doing my own recipe. So, we bought some fresh habaneros. I bought some fresh sweet peppers, and one of my buddies in my clan in the, Destiny clan, don't want to make that mistake like last week.
Oh yeah. Friend of the show, Solo Snack, appreciated my calling you out of that on that one.
My Destiny clan, he does hot sauce, and he told me he gets it up to a boil, and then he puts it on low heat for an hour and a half, and then he puts it in the fridge for a while, and then he blends it. So I did that, but what I did though is I took the sweet pepper and the habanero, and when I was barbecuing this week, I put it on my smoker and smoked the peppers for like a solid hour just to get it kind of cooked up a little bit and get some smoke in it. And then what I did too is I added some mango. So it was like a mango habanero hot sauce. Dude, Danny, super fucking good. Like, incredibly good. Like, it's just got that perfect, like, sweetness to it with like a punch of heat and then like a nice calming afterburn. Like, it's not like it just builds up and your mouth is like crazy on fire. It just kind of like hits you right in the face with a little bit of heat, and then the aftertaste, like the after heat, is just a nice like a medium burn, very tolerable, very enjoyable.
Nice, because you know, when I used to work at the this warehouse, there was one guy there that, you know, used to like to eat spicy things, but he would be eating it and like you could see his like nose was running and he was sweating and he just looked uncomfortable. And I'm like, can you even taste your food anymore? Or like you're just like burnt all of your taste buds, like cauterized them because of the heat.
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, this is good. And I'm like, is it good though? Like, that does not look fun or pleasant.
Yeah, dude, like, I don't want it.
It's going to be even less pleasant the second time through.
Yeah, I don't want to sweat when I eat food. It's not very enjoyable. I don't want to feel like I'm running stairs in hell while I'm eating food.
And, you know, and apparently this episode is going back to this subject of poo, but you also don't want to have, like, lava coming out the back end when you're going to the bathroom later.
No. Definitely not. It was kind of funny though, talking about did I touch my boys after cutting pepper. So I did, like, so I cut up the habanero, cut up the sweet peppers, and then I cut up the mango, and then I used the knife to like scrape a little bit of the mango, the rest of the mango out, and then was like eating it, and I was like, when did mango become spicy? Like, it took me, like, a second to realize, like, even though, like, I just cut through all the sweet pepper, cut through, like, a bulk of the mango, like, the habanero, like, essence was still on the knife.
Oh, yeah, dude. That, like, that shit hangs on. Like, you gotta, like, you know, it's like, it hangs on harder than, like,
the stage COVID. Five clinger.
Like, you gotta wash your hands, like, for more than 24 seconds and make sure you use lots of soap.
Yeah. No, it's and no water. Joke.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's, so the kick did come with a dried up ghost pepper, but I was like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. I was like, that seems dangerous.
Maybe you should treat your hot sauce like a lot of guys treat light other women and just the tip.
Possibly, man. Possibly.
Like one batch, man. Just the tip.
Jeez. That's terrible, man. You're a bad person.
I never said I wasn't. Speaking of women and just the tip, Sean, you sent me a link to I don't even know if it's like a full like manga site or a webcomic site, but there is definitely a manga that you recommended reading.
Yeah, so again, leveled up my weebness as well, Daniel. I ended up, there was again, back to r/anime memes to help me figure out what I want to read. There was a comic that came up that sounded really ridiculous that I wanted to start reading, and it kind of took me to this site where it seems like this is like the, it seems like they do, like the website has published manga out there, but it also has like unpublished manga from like, it's like not fan art, but like basically people that I think are trying to be professionals. And I think this is one, but just the name of the series, I think is enough to get anybody to read it. A story about treating a female knight who has never been treated as a woman, as a woman.
Right. And before we go any further real quick, so we don't forget.
Yes.
The site is Manga Kakalot, MangaKakalot.com.
Yes.
But yeah, that is a great title. I had come across that somewhere before, and I thought it was like actually a printed manga. I didn't know if it was. I didn't realize you can get it for free.
Yeah.
In very short chapters, there's like what. I didn't read the whole thing, but it looked like it was like 80 chapters, or at least.
There's 104 chapters. The newest one just released 19 hours ago.
Okay, I'm a little behind. I'm on chapter like 5.
I was able to read everything during the during my relaxation time. During my vacation, so
your self-care time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was hoping I could read some at work, because like the past couple weeks or so, it's been like kind of slow for like the first hour, and it picks up. So I'm like, well, I can at least read like a couple chapters, because there's like, you know, maybe what 15 to 20 panels, like tiny panels per chapter.
Yeah, no, it's very it's very short. It's very easy to get through.
But yeah, but even like at least what I've read, it's pretty good. Like him coming up, professing his love like out of the blue, and she's like, "Wait, what are you talking about? Like, I'm a hideous monster."
Yeah. So basically, this knight is like the strongest knight in the land. You know, she's missing an eye. She's got all sorts of scars on her body and stuff. And so, obviously, like, people are very intimidated, but for whatever reason, this, like, mage is like, I'm in love with you. And then you find out, like, he has a weird ab thing, fetish. And he's just like, and so, like, it's kind of like, it goes on, and there's, like, some really funny parts where he, like, sees her, he, like, touches her abs, and then he goes into, like, you know, over level 9,000 mode because he's, like, way too, like, happy about it. So, but it's just a pretty funny love story. And I guess it has turned into a little bit of a harem as well because there has been more characters added in that, you know, they generally like him and they're jealous of the Sacred Sword. But it's definitely, he's just like, I guess it's not really harem, but it's just like, because he doesn't care about like them. He's like, I truly only love the Sacred Sword, so...
Well, isn't that kind of like how most of the harem shows go? Like, like Date Alive, like, he was only interested in the main girl, and then... Or Rosario Vampire, like, he only...
I guess, yeah, I guess you're right. Here we go. So,
I think you can admit it.
You're right this time, Daniel, you bastard. But overall, I thought it was a very easy read. It was able to get through. I thought the story arcs were pretty funny. I thought the standalone random stories were pretty good. So I think the author did a really good job. I don't know if the author did the artwork too, but I thought the artwork was pretty top-notch. I thought everything was pretty enjoyable. And they could draw some seriously good abs.
Oh, yeah. Like, what are you good at? I'm good at drawing abs. And like, all right, let's figure out how to make that work.
How do we make this happen? So, Danny, I guess you're going to have to carry the next bit because I let you down and I was not able to. I didn't. Not that I wasn't able to. I did not. I completely forgot to watch. How heavy are your dumbbells?
Dude, I am so disappointed in you, Sean. I really, really wanted you to watch this show.
I know, man. What can I say, man? Just a huge disappointment. Maybe I'll send you some beer. Maybe that'll make up for it.
Probably not.
That's fair. This time I'll just disappoint you later.
Yeah. I mean, again?
Again and again and again.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, like, I've come across this anime. Like, you know, you have your source of anime with the memes.
Yes.
There was, like for a while, I was getting, like, YouTube recommendations for anime that would pop up. It would show, like, a couple-minute clips, kind of like from Cautious Hero, where, you know, the one goddess or what angel, whatever they are, baked him the cake and he was like, yeah, screw you, I don't like cake, I'm not eating this, and just walks away and she's like heartbroken and just goes back to being angry again. So there was a couple scenes from this anime that pops up. This anime, it's like very, so the story is this girl and her friend are talking and like they're showing the friend, like the main character, just eating. And as she's like eating, they're like showing like the calorie count of everything she's eating, and they're like giving like the weight, her height and weight stats of her, and then her friend, and her friend's like, "Have you been to the gym? Did you stop going to the gym or something?" And she was like, "Why?" And she's like, "Looks like you're getting a little pudgy again." And so she freaks out and she ends up like going to a gym, and she's like, even though it's like, she's like, it's kind of close to school, but hopefully like nobody's here because nobody works out.
Yeah.
Like, no high school kids go to the gym. And of course she runs into like this one girl who's like perfect. Like, her parents are rich and like always working out and stuff. And so they end up becoming like gym buddies. And at first they weren't going to like join the gym. Like, the main character was like, because everybody, all the dudes there were like super like buff. And she wasn't like, the main character wasn't going to join the gym. And she like kind of said, like, well, the other girl's like, yeah, let's just get out of here, like, as soon as we can. Another girl was like, apparently she had like muscle fetish. She's just like drooling over the dudes. And then this one of the personal trainers comes in, and he's just like a normal looking dude. And the main character like falls in love with him. And then as he's talking about working out, he just like goes into like Hulk mode and like grows and like rips out of his like uniform into his like his little Speedo.
So, like, when he wears clothes, he looks like a normal person, but then, like, once the clothes come off, he's, like, super ripped.
Yes. And it's funny because there's parts where, like, he goes from, like, ripped, like explaining stuff or whatever, and then, like, normal clothes, and, like, the clothes just appear, like, on him, and he, like, shrinks back down to normal size. Like,
oh, my God. Shrinking.
And so the show is, like a mix of, like, the most fanservice-y anime and, like, an exercise training video. So, like, they'll, like, at the end of each video, like, during the show, they'll kind of show them at the gym and stuff, and they'll have them, like, for whatever reason, they need to work on something, whether it's, like, running, like, how they have this in Japan, they have the school athletic day.
Yeah.
And so the main character got picked to do the 400-yard relay. And she's like, I'm not a runner. And so they go to the gym, and he's like, if you do these exercises, you'll work out these muscles, but you don't want to work out these ones. So it's like very in-depth of, like, not just how to work out, but what it works out. But then as they're talking about the muscles, like, the girl's, like, sitting there, like, naked, like, doing the hand bra thing or covering, like, light, like, the light is shining so you can't see parts. So it's a very interesting mix of, like, fan service and, like, education. But I don't know. I highly, highly enjoyed it. It was really funny. Even Jody, who is pretty critical of anime, like, the first thing she'll immediately make fun of whenever watching an anime is the voices of the women or girls. Just how they're all very, like, overly breathy when they talk.
Yeah.
But she actually, like, enjoyed this one. It's pretty good. The characters are all really good. There's some interesting twists. There's a appearance by a movie star, because, like, the main character and her friend are, like, movie buffs.
Yeah.
And it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger ripoff, but I can't remember his last name, but it's, like, his first name is Barnold. It's, like, Barnold Stormbreaker or something like that. Like, it's close, but not close enough. And so, I don't know. I really wish you would have watched it, Sean. I don't know what to say anymore.
I don't know what to tell you either. This is just how it happens. This is just what happens, man.
It is. Life with Sean.
Oh, man. So I got to play a good old game that my brother has been trying to make me play for a long time, and that is Spooderman. Good old Spider-Man. This released a couple years ago, right? I think in 2018?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a new game, but it definitely isn't super old. So it kind of, so you jump in and you start fighting Kingpin and you arrest Kingpin, and that's kind of the beginning of the story. It doesn't really, I thought it was interesting that it didn't go through, like, the whole history, thankfully, of, like, who Spider-Man is. I feel like we've had enough reboots over the last 20 years to figure out how Spider-Man got his powers and why he's Spider-Man. I don't know how many times we got to watch Ben Parker die, but we're done with that piece. The story overall was pretty interesting. I thought the main story was very well written, and it felt like it strongly felt like a Spider-Man storyline. Even at the end, when you thought everything was fixed, and as you kind of witnessed something kind of happening throughout the story, it was easy to call what was going to happen, but the way it happened was a little unexpected, and so I thought that part was good. I thought the end story wrapped it up very well. When we look at the expansion pack, they did like three expansion packs that all related. So, like, they released the expansion pack and it had like a third of the story, and then the next one had the middle part of the story, and then the last one was the kind of like the final conclusion with it. So I thought that was also a pretty cool story. I thought it was again another well written part of the story. The gameplay for Spooderman is pretty solid. I thought the web slinging was really good. I thought, like, being able to, like, they call it, like, parkour or spider core instead of parkour over buildings and stuff. I thought what was very fluid. It felt really easy to kind of get to places where you needed to be. You know, with Spider-Man games, they try to make it semi-RPG-like, and you can pick different power, like, specialties, not necessarily power. So, like, you do, maybe you can be stronger at webbing people, or you get, like, technology, and you have, like, a little spider drone or random stuff. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I don't think it was the best, but I thought it was at least interesting enough. It made the gameplay a little different.
That's not like they kind of have to gamify it in a way, because they want you to have to, I guess, struggle in the beginning, because if not, then you're just Spider-Man and can do everything in a way.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
The same limits like the old, there's this one, Wolverine game. Or X-Men game, and like Wolverine's like the most notorious shitty way of like nerfing a character's superpowers is basically like whenever you used his whenever his claws were extracted, he would lose health until he died.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though that happening in the comics or the movies or anywhere else.
Yeah, can never die, but somehow he dies in the game. Yeah. The gameplay, well, not the gameplay, but the objectives, that's where it kind of, the biggest flaw of Spider-Man, and I got some other cool things to say too, but I wanted to kind of go good, bad, good.
You mean the compliment sandwich?
Exactly. You gotta do the compliment sandwich. I don't want Sony to sue me.
That is like, I don't know about Home Depot, but that is a management technique that is taught very much at UPS.
Well, do they tell it to your steward and then the steward tells you?
No. Whenever like management's like doing like observations on like making sure you're working properly or working safe or whatever, you gotta give you that like compliment sandwich.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you did this really safe. Maybe you could work on doing this a little bit safer. But you also did this. Well, that's good.
Maybe you could work and stop talking. And then Danny comes back. Maybe you can make sure I have enough boxes.
Exactly. Maybe you can talk to my shop steward about that when I feel harassed.
So the objectives in Spider-Man get very overly repetitive. So, like, in the beginning of the game, you have to, like, knock out Kingpin's, like, money, his yard locations. And then, if you want to max out that yard location or, like, that fight area, you have to do, like, certain objectives. Like, you have to get 10 guys webbed to the wall, or you have to do, like, 10 of these dodges, you know, random stuff. So it's like, cool, you know, I did it real quick, and then, like, you know, you progress through the game, and now it's like, this enemy has these strongholds, you gotta go in and defeat him. I'm like, I just fucking did that for Kingpin. And then it's like, and then it was just like, every expansion pack, like, each chapter had, it was like the same rinse and repeat bullshit. Taskmaster shows up, and you have to do different drills for him, so you're like, cool. You know, the story with him is pretty cool. You get to fight him twice. He's very tough. He's a tough character to actually fight, even though he just has a sword, because he mimics a lot of your moves. And so you have to be very pristine on your dodges and counters and stuff. So it was a really good fight. But, like, some of the challenges for him is you had to, like, save somebody stealthily, because, like, they would instantly die if anybody knew you were there, or you had to go deactivate bombs or follow, like, a, like, little what's it called, like, little, what are those like little RC plane things,
drone.
That drive drones. You have to, like, follow this drone, and then you had to do, like, you had to go in between the rings it kind of illuminates, so that way you could get max points. And then it's like expansion pack one, Speedball comes, this chick named Speedball that's super annoying is like, hey, you have to do this so I could get cool more video streams, and it's basically rinse and repeat of Taskmaster stuff. It's like, it's not even like original content and things to do. Like at some point, like you just feel like you're doing the same thing over and over. And I basically like once it got, I got to like 75% of the main story done. All I did was the main story. I stopped doing all the rest of the stuff because it wasn't worth it. It was just all rinse and repeat stuff. And you know, they try to do things where it's like, oh, well, if you go collect these things, like you get to like talk to this person or so and so. So some of that I missed out on, but it was kind of like, man, I don't want to keep doing the same ass fucking shit.
Right. I don't know why you would want to. It'd get pretty boring after a while.
Yeah. So some of the story origins were kind of written different than the comics. So, like, Dr. Octopus, he was in there. Shocker, Electro, Vulture, Rhino, Scorpion, Mr. Negative showed up. He was really good. And Black Cat's in there. Everybody, even though everybody was kind of changed slightly, everybody was still felt like they were in the ballpark of being in the Spider-Man universe. So everybody felt good, except Mary Jane. Mary Jane is the most annoying. Yes, is the most annoying character in the game. Like she, she basically is a reporter. So they took away. So they moved that piece, and then they just drew her a lot different, and they kind of give her like this more like, I'm not going to be a damsel in distress anymore. I'm going to be like the hero. I want to be the hero too, kind of attitude. And they just really disrupted her character, and then just her dialogue was just written just unpleasantly, and it was just kind of like. It was just like, oh my god, man. I just, every time, like, and then the worst part was, is that you had missions with Mary Jane. So you had to go, like, sneaking around a camp, and you had to, like, distract, make, like, a little distraction over here so you could sneak around the guard. It was literally, like, the worst, between her and Speedball, there's literally the worst two characters, and it's not even, like, the next one is not even, like, a long shot of being as bad. Like those two were just so bad and so annoying. And it was kind of funny too, because even Nick like agreed to the point where he's like, dude, they just jacked her up really bad.
Yeah.
That's,
I don't know. You sound like one of those guys on YouTube complaining how social justice warriors are ruining everything. Cause whammins and not where the white men at.
Well, the argument that I would have in the Spider-Man case is Black Cat was still really strong. She wasn't like a pushover or anything. She was still kind of like a semi-villain, like beat up a lot of bosses and tricked Spider-Man. The police chief is a female. She had an interesting storyline. It was very... I thought she was funny when she would mess with Spider-Man and stuff, but she was a well-written character. And then Silver Sable was in it, so she was, you know, she had very good reason on why she was doing what she was doing and what her motivations are. And she was, when she interacted with Spider-Man, because she's so much more serious than him, I thought she was funny. So I feel like they had three perfectly written females that weren't like damsel in distress or anything. And then you could look over at Mary Jane and you're just like, what? What is this?
Right. And even in the comics, like there's, depending on the story or the writer, there's some stories where she is the damsel in distress and there's others where she's not. Like she's basically like But she's not, like, out in front necessarily, but she's the rock that Peter leans on to get him through his hard times. Like, there's times where he wants to quit or doesn't see the reason to keep going, and she's like, no, no, you got this. I believe in you. Go kick ass, you know? Or, yeah. Like, she'll help him in other ways without necessarily being in the forefront. So, yeah, I was just mostly giving you a hard time. I just wanted to – and I just wanted to hear what you would say.
I attacked you with other women.
Exactly. Because, you know, apparently some people too much, so I wanted to disagree with you for the sake of disagreeing with you.
Fair enough. I think the game is pretty cheap now. Overall, I think for the if you could get the game, I think because I got the Game of the Year edition that came with the expansion packs for free. I mean, this is definitely an easily a good $20 to $30 game. Like, if you're getting it below $30, it's definitely. I think it was worth the play, especially if you're a Spider-Man fan. I just thought it was – I thought the main story was just written very well, and the gameplay overall is really fun. The characters are kind of redesigned a little bit, but they fit very well. It felt like a really strong universe. I think you just have an – I think you're just going to have issues with two characters and then just a little bit of repetitiveness on the on the, like, little side missions and stuff. It just gets... I mean, if you're cool with it, just rinse it, doing the same thing over and over, then it's going to be a fantastic game for you.
Yeah, and it looks like you can probably get it for about $25.
Yeah. They do have a lot of awesome Spider-Man outfits, though. So there's, like, a lot to choose from.
That's what I heard. That, like, you know... And people were, like, upset, cause, and, like... The first expansion, when the first expansion came out, people were like, "Wait, they didn't have the costumes that I wanted. This game sucks." And then it's like, "Just wait, they're coming out with more." You know?
Yeah.
So on eBay, there's used for $15, brand new at Target $25.50, or you can go to GameStop and spend $50, $40.
Nice. Good old GameStop.
But yeah, so yeah, and you spend about $25 to $30 right now without it being on sale, and I think I've seen it on sale for cheaper than that.
Probably, I'm sure it has deals. It definitely opens it up. I mean, it's Spider-Man. You could always have more. I don't think it, like, left anything like a giant cliffhanger. Both of the stories wrapped up pretty well, but there's just plenty of villains to choose from. So, I mean, I'd be interested to see what they kind of do next.
I don't know. It seems like, you know, there's only enough Spider-Man material out there for one game. It seems like there's no point in making a second one. So, last weekend, you know, over the course of the three-day weekend... I had time to watch a couple movies with the wife.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one I watched was a movie called Playing with Fire, starring John Cena, and also has Keegan Peele from Key and Peele, and then John Leguizamo, and Brianna Hildebrand was in it as well. And basically the story is like John Cena is like the best firefighter ever, like he's a smoke jumper. Not, and they make sure to make that distinction. He's like, there's so many firemen, but there's only a small number of smoke jumpers, and smoke jumpers are the elite of the firemen. But he's like the elite of the elite, pretty much. And so they end up being called to save this at a cabin fire, and they save this family of older brother and like a almost toddler as aged. Girl, like she's four, really. Like at some point in the movie, it's her fourth birthday, and so I wanted to really like this movie, Sean.
Did he go invisible at all?
No, he did not.
Oh, a terrible movie.
It is, but so basically, like you know, he's like, you know, they clear like every cliche. Like, you know, whenever people talk about movie tropes and how like. Movie tropes are bad, and it's like, well, no, tropes necessarily aren't bad. It just depends on how you use them. Like tropes are like seasoning in a movie or or spices in a recipe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you throw the wrong seasoning or spices, or you just don't use it right, the food tastes gross. Same thing with a movie, man. Like, the kids were just assholes. Like, there's a scene where, like, the boy's, like, in the garage at the firehouse unattended, and he ends up, like, getting paint on the truck. And then, like, to get it off, he ends up, like, finding, like, paint thinner and, like, steel wool. And then, like, it's like, not coming. It's like, he's just basically scraping the paint off. And then so he decides that, you know what's going to clean it off? If I use the fire hose and all of this soap. Which then, of course, fills the garage with bubbles and chaos ensues.
Of course.
You know, it's a bunch of shit like that. But then, like, Brianna Hildebrand, like, This is a movie that shows you that the movie you're in or the director can show whether or not you're a good actress or a bad or a good actress or actor or a bad one. But she was good and funny in Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
As Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Yeah.
But in this one, like, it's weird because she looked like she was like 12 in this movie.
Oh, really?
Dude, like, the way they, like, had her hair and the costumes they put her in. And I know they were supposed to have her play young, but I don't know. She was supposed to be in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, like, 23, and for some reason she, like, was supposed to play younger than that even in Deadpool, but she didn't look like she was, like, 12.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some funny moments, but just overall, man, it's not a movie worth watching. And the fact that they have, like, John Leguizamo and Peele, which are basically very similar actors in the way they play their characters, just kind of funny, annoying. It's not like they needed to, like, maybe have another character archetype besides two of the same. I guess if you have nothing else to do and it's available, maybe watch it. John Cena, like, is John Cena and is John Cena-ist. He's not a bad actor, but he didn't really have to show any emotional range in this movie.
I just had to be a tough guy, because I'm a big tough guy. Rah!
And the best of the best, yes. And then at the end, I have a redeeming moment. I realize that maybe being the tough guy isn't the best way to do life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watched The Spy Who Dumped Me.
Oh, boy. Look at you go.
With Mila Kunis and... why can't I think of her name? Anyways, and it's funny, too, because she was, like, the funniest part of the movie. Like, she's in the new Ghostbusters movie. She was in she was on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one that I thought I wouldn't like out of the three.
Are you talking about Kate McKinnon? Like,
yes, her. Thank you. I was going to look it up. Kate McKinnon, yes. She's actually pretty funny in this movie. Like, they let her kind of go off on her own little tangents.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell-esque, but they kind of reel it in a little bit where it's not too far, like how Will Ferrell can get, where it's just almost like, all right, dude, it was funny, and now it's just awkward. Not funny anymore. And it's not even, like, funny awkward. It's just like, all right, get on with it. So basically the story is, like, she's dating this dude, and she finds out he's a spy, and he ends up, like, having her, like, go on a mission, and just the shenanigans ensue. you know, they don't have the two of them really necessarily doing anything that's, like, unbelievable. It's not all of a sudden, like, Mila Kunis goes from just being, like, a random person to, like, being able to, like, fight in hand-to-hand combat. She's pretty funny in it. Like, I would watch the movie again if I, like, had the chance.
If it was on, gotcha.
If I was, like, on an airplane or something like that.
Okay.
Like, this would definitely be replay on an airplane movie. It's not something I'd, like, buy, but it's like, oh, yeah, this movie's on the airplane. I'll watch it. I just want some laughs. So that I don't really have to pay attention. I've already seen it.
Fair enough. While you're playing your weeb shows?
Yes. Well, I'd probably be, like, reading or, like, playing a video game. I wouldn't necessarily be watching a movie and a TV show.
I guess so.
Especially if I have subtitles on, so I have to read and watch.
Fair enough.
Or if I, like, am too tired to, like, actively do something and maybe just want to have something on the TV, and then I could like maybe fall asleep and then wake up and then fall back to sleep, like background noise.
The good airplane naps.
Yes, kind of like Kill a Kill with, in English is for you. But then we watched Zombieland 2.
Yeah, I didn't get to see this one. This is one that's still on my list of things to watch.
It's keep it on your list. They added some new stuff without going overboard on like the, hey, this was super popular in the first movie. Let's just lean heavy into this. But they do have some callbacks to the first movie, like the his list of rules and stuff. They introduced a couple new characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like the original characters haven't really changed much. They show time has passed because they kind of have to, because Abigail Breslin isn't a kid anymore.
Like, yeah,
she's mostly adult. She's not, and they make a reference to that. She's like, yeah, when this started, I was like 11. There's that scene in the trailer where Luke Wilson and this other guy pull up in a monster truck, and they're basically like twins of Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
That scene was pretty funny. The interactions between the two of them, really good. I don't know, man. Like, it's not as good as the first one, but I think, you know, especially with a movie like this where it's good because you weren't necessarily expecting it to be good.
Yeah.
It's better. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were like, oh, this movie looks good. And then you watch it, you're like, wow, that movie was really good. Like, it's better than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you go into the sequel with higher expectations because it has to meet the expectations of the first movie.
Yes.
So, yeah, I would definitely keep this on your list as a movie to watch.
Gotcha. One day.
Yes.
One day.
I suppose.
One day. One day.
Oh, man. I just wish we could go back to the old school normal. Like, you know, Elon Musk has his spaceship at the docked with the International Space Station today with two astronauts. And somebody tweeted, it's like, congratulations on the two men that were able to leave Earth.
leave all this behind.
Yes, it's like hot in summer, so I'm supposed to like be working as little as possible at my job. Like, as, not just like physical, like amount of things I'm doing, but also hours. But now it's like even busier than it is at Christmas time, and I hate it so much.
I bet, man. It's gotta be super hot out there.
Yeah,
as summertime is coming.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad, not so bad this week, but there was a couple days where it hit 100 last week. So yay.
I do not miss that 100 degree weather. I really don't.
No.
Did you ever play Skyrim?
No, I did not, and it's like, 8 different releases.
So next week we'll be talking about my new latest playthrough of Skyrim, since I've been had some downtime during the week. I repicked up Skyrim just to mess around with it. So we could, I think as I've played it, I think I've became more critical on random things about the game versus like actual realistic flaws of the game that's just more or less accepted. So we'll talk about that next time, I guess.
I did see like a thing on a meme on Reddit that basically it's been as long, like the time of between Morrowind and Skyrim coming out is how long it's been between Skyrim and now.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty ridiculous. So, I don't know, man. We'll have to see, because I got the girlfriend to start playing Oblivion, which is, for those that don't know, is the fourth game. Skyrim is the fifth game. So watching her play as I'm like bringing up fond memories But again, like I said, that, more of that for next week.
Yeah, somebody posted a video on Reddit. He got his girlfriend to play Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, here's the first 3 minutes. And within like a couple seconds, she's like, rides the horse up, like runs somebody over with the horse. Like, he's mad at the main character. And then something happens where a guy's like, gets thrown off his like horse that's pulling like a stagecoach.
Mm-hmm.
And like the horse like trips and it like comes disconnected from the stagecoach and the stagecoach catches on fire.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. You like literally just like try to like walk up to the, go to the bar and you caused all this ruckus.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Well, make sure you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all those fantastic places.
And give us ratings, like reviews. Throw some words on the reviews. I know I haven't looked for since last week, but we had 2 reviews with words and like 9 stars. So there's 7 people that couldn't at least say "fuck you" or something.
tell everybody how good we are. How good we are.
Yeah, lie.
Lie a lot. That's what I do every week when I say it's your favorite episode, favorite podcast, your favorite something.
It's your favorite podcast hosted by a Sean and a Danny.
Exactly.
Definitely in the top 3.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Later.